coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
If my bitch, man, if Parliament does not raise this money,
and controversial.
If driving to the roads is a getting the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arongo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 95.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
And Shaku Maku, everyone, and it's a pleasure, a great pleasure to join you on the Public Square, beginning with Ayobe on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And Shaku Maku to everyone again. Today we'll kick off and open the square with Ayobe. She'll be speaking with Ebonlu Adegboruwa, Senior Advocate of Nigeria, on ideas, issues around resignations, a number of seven ministers, and all the political appointees contesting various offices. This is in 2023. Ayobe, great to see you again.
And to see you as well, Abo. In fact, we're just having a bit of a laugh at the picture of the outgoing ministers.
Exactly.
And examining the expressions on the faces of some of them, and the some full of joy, some sort of looking a little bit, hang on.
What's going on here? And interestingly, Mr. Adegboruwa, Senior Advocate of Nigeria, I've been speaking with him also. I'm sure he'd be like, I didn't know I'd be on the same show with this guy again.
Well, we'll drive you away, Aro, and I will say welcome, everyone, to Ideas Radio.
Thank you, madam. Good afternoon, listeners. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Yes, and as you know, Ideas stands for integrity, democracy, ethics and accountability. And as I said when I was inviting you to come onto the show, that the events of this week, which relate to the issue of whether serving appointees, ministers, heads and members of extra ministerial departments, agencies, parastatals, ambassadors, and so on, whether or not they should resign while they are still contesting for elective office. Now, I know as a senior advocate of Nigeria, you will definitely have your views about the legal position. But I'd like you, first of all, to just talk about what do you think of as the issues relating to ethics and integrity that this question raises?
Thank you very much, ma'am. I believe when you talk about ethics, it has to do with matters involving public trust, mm-hmm. and how people who occupy such positions use it to better the common good and do not take any advantage of that office in any way that may hinder the performance of their responsibilities. Now, this matter relates to those who are appointed in public positions, commissioners, special advisors, ministers, and such other persons that are appointed by politicians into various positions. Now, why we say that there is ethical issue and moral issues on this is the person is seeking to pursue a personal interest. That is, perhaps, for instance, he's a commissioner or he's a minister and he wants to contest election as governor, mm-hmm. or as a member of the legislature. So he's pursuing a personal interest. It is possible that in an attempt to execute that mandate, there may be conflict, mm-hmm. between his own personal interest and the position he already occupies by virtue of his appointment. And you know that in Nigeria, there's a lot of horse trading.
Yeah.
When these matters come up between politicians, you give in to this, you sacrifice that. And in the desperation of people to secure public office, there's nothing they cannot sacrifice, including the common good, including emptying confidential matters within their possession or in their custody by virtue of their opposition to secure their mandate. So it is possible for a commissioner, for a minister, to disclose confidential and official matters, you know, that are within his exclusive knowledge by virtue of the position he occupies, in order to secure his personal ambition of contesting election office. So I think that there is that possibility, and it's just better that a person like that shouldn't throw himself into such a conflicting position. Then the second thing is this, man. I mean, where do you get the fund? You know, somebody appointed into office, salaries are known. You look at the cost of nomination form itself alone. You look at the cost of visiting delegates, look at the cost of campaign, buying vehicles, branding them, painting, face cap, t-shirts. So the issue of funding for somebody occupying public position is also critical. And then finally also, is, which we think is very, very important, is time. If you are appointed into an office and you are collecting salary and you are given certain responsibility to execute, it's just going to be a challenge for you to pretend to be executing those mandates while you are pursuing your own personal interest. How do you remain in office as the chief executive of a ministry, as a commissioner? And then you still have the time to embark on campaigns, attend late night meetings. You still have the time to be able to go about, you know, lobbying people in order to secure your own office. And you occupy this at the same time simultaneously. For instance, you are on the campaign grounds. And you can't be found at your duty post in most of these times. So you see that the public is at a loss in terms of your commitment to the responsibilities attached to that office, in terms of financial losses, and then also in terms of the responsibilities and confidentialities that have been imposed into the person contesting this office. So we thought that these are ethical matters that you as a person, you don't need to be prompted. We all have consciences. We should be guided by certain morals as individuals. So that even without a law, reason demands that if you find yourself in circumstances that may involve personal conflict with your official responsibility, you just have to find a way to resign in order to pursue your personal ambition to go into elective office. Or you take a decision whether to remain in that appointed position and forgo the desire to go for elective position. And well, I think that these are the matters that we should be addressing.
Well, it seems that of all the ministers appointed by the president, only one of them had what it took to say that I'm going to resign to be an aspirant. But wouldn't you say that there is some, how do I put it, there is some practicality in the idea of somebody who wants to, who is an aspirant, but is not sure whether they will become a candidate, waiting to see whether or not they will become a candidate before they take that decision to resign, and then they can give their full attention to the business of campaigning? Or do you think that the time at which the president came out with his directive, whether it was driven by the fact that the Court of Appeal had made a decision, had made a pronouncement on Section 84, or whether it was that now all the money was safely in to the coffers of his political party, do you think that there's a reason for doing it at this time rather than at another time?
Well, I think, man, that nobody will just wake up suddenly and take a decision to join politics or seek elective office. Certain considerations must have followed that decision. There should have been consultations, either with his family, either with his friends, either with his colleagues. Nobody is ever an island. So it's not something that you just jump into and then begin to collect nomination forms and expression of interest just suddenly. So like the Honorable Minister of State for Education did, he must have taken a decision and he felt that it was going to be a serious conflict, and he resigned without any prompting. So I believe that those who are occupying positions of appointment, having realized that they needed to seek further involvement in partisan politics, should have voluntarily taken that decision. And on the part of all persons who are gambling between whether to resign or whether to go for elective position, just show that our leaders are not in office to serve. Otherwise, if the reason for you aspiring to public office is purely service, whether by virtue of your appointment or election, it all amounts to service.
So but don't you think that by seeing a desire to, and we do use the word serve, a desire to serve or to attain high political office as simply a selfish personal ambition, we are actually reinforcing the idea that there is no place for ethics and integrity in politics, but that it's not because you want to be in power to put your ideas into effect, but you want to be in power for your selfishness. Don't you think that we are really reinforcing the idea that politics has no space for ethics and integrity?
Maybe in our own local setting, but universally, that is not a concept.
Exactly.
Either from Britain or America, where we have copied.
No. I'm not going to allow you to say that, because Britain and America are, quite frankly, not the flag bearers for democracy, ethics, or integrity, or democracy when it comes to.
If you say that,
ma'am. But let's bring it back home. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, the point I'm trying to make is this, ma'am, that the president didn't need the prompting of Nigerians. He didn't need all the outrage that greeted the decisions of his ministers and other appointed aides to remain in office while secretly pursuing their several ambitions. So it was belated, if I can say that. The decision to give them the marching order to resign was belated. It came, number one, after Nigerians had made the call, and secondly, it was after the decision of the Court of Appeal. So you've seen that if that decision had not come, the president probably would not have taken that decision. And this is the matter when we talk about ethics, because it should be personal to you in terms of your moral values.
Yes.
In terms of how you perceive your involvement in public office, you do not need a third party to prompt you to do what is right. Well, because it should be intrinsic to that office. It should be intrinsic to the character of the person. But, that you have certain ethical values that you must demonstrate when you are in public office.
One thing that I wanted, I mean, because when we talk about this, there have been two of the potential aspirants who have caused Nigerians particular concern. And now, of course, one of them has in fact resigned, and that is the Attorney General of the Federation. But we can't get away from the fact that he is the president's main chief lawyer and would have been advising the president. For example, we saw the stand taken by the federal government through the Attorney General on the question of Section 84(1) of the Electoral Act and its constitutionality. And I wonder whether we can now look forward to whether the suspicion of a not quite disinterested approach to that advice that might be given on behalf of the federal government, we can now look forward to something different.
I do hope you are right, you know, that the Honorable Attorney General of the Federation has indeed resigned, because news
he was at the presidential farewell.
So. The news featuring just now breaking all over the place is that nobody can trace his nomination forms in APC Secretariat. And it is said that he has withdrawn all his nomination and expression of interest forms in order to retain his office of the Honorable Attorney General of the Federation. But in any case, assuming he has resigned because of his interest to pursue the office of the Governor of Kebbi State, it reinforces the point that you have made that the person who occupies the office of the Chief Legal Advisor of the President, and indeed the number one Chief Law Officer of the Federation, should be at the forefront of conversing positions that will enhance understanding of what the legal position should be all the time. we didn't have gone into all this confusion or all this seeming prolongation of legal gymnastics if the Attorney General, you know, had given that indication to the President as to what the proper position of the law should be. And that's what takes me to the issue of ethics. Because it's personal, man, like I said, it was because the Attorney General became conflicted in the sense that he had a personal ambition to pursue, that over that became a challenge for him to discharge his responsibilities properly under the law as a public officer. So he allowed his own personal interest to override and conflict with that of the interest of his office, which indeed was what I raised when we started the program. That it's important for those who occupy these offices to be able to distance themselves from the personal interest they have from that of their own public responsibility. So I think the President should take the blame in all this. Because apart from having the Honorable Attorney General, there are other special advisors in terms of legal matters. The Vice President is there as a senior advocate and a senior lawyer. If you look at the cabinet, there are not less than about five other senior advocates. Mr.
You senior advocates always think that all wisdom flows from the brains of people who are senior advocates.
I'm just trying to say that if you look at the position of hierarchy of laws, the President has enough people within his cabinet to be able to advise and give him some kind of legal understanding.
Anyway, you're certainly right about that. But I don't want to close this program without also looking at the situation, because you did talk about the fact that there are legal issues that are on ground. And one of the most surprising for many people is are those that relate to the governor of the central bank. As at the time of talking, it's not really clear whether he has he's in fact an aspirant or whether he has any form, because he disclaimed the forms that were submitted in his name, and it's not clear that he has submitted any himself. But despite having made such a very forthright disclaimer, it turns out that he has been in court in more than one place, one in Abuja, seeking to remain in office until, even if he's an aspirant or a candidate, until 30 days before, and another that has already been secured from, I believe, the High Court in Delta State, in favor of his remaining in office. And one thing that I wanted to bring to you, because when we talk about elections, we know that the Central Bank of Nigeria is the custodian of electoral materials, so that his position is not simply just as the head of the central bank, which has a big influence on Nigeria's finances and economy, but also as the person in charge of the agency that would have custody of election materials. So I wonder if you can talk about both the legal issues, because we know that the central bank governor cannot be sacked by the president, even if he's asked to resign and does not. The president cannot sack him, as we saw in the case of Governor Lamido Sanusi of the central bank when he was a central bank governor. The president could only suspend him. And then the issue of whether or not he could be sacked was overtaken by his elevation to the emirship of Kano. So what do you think that this, this limbo that we seem to be in with regard to the governor of the central bank raises issues of ethics, accountability, integrity, and indeed accountability?
Without any doubt, ma, I think that the case of the governor of central bank highlights more than other cases, the point we make about ethical conduct, transparency, and accountability. Because we talked about the number one banker in Nigeria, who is the custodian of our external reserve, is the custodian of policies on inflation, is in custody of policies relating to exchange rate. Indeed, he is in charge of all matters relating to our financial sector generally. And the powers of the central bank governor are enormous. Under the law, he can sack the board of a bank, as it so happened with First Bank recently. He can do and undo, remove managing directors. So such a person should, while in office, not display any partisan interest in political matters at all. And for anything that we see, Section 9 of the Central Bank Act clearly says that such a person will require the permission of the board of the CBN before he can ever dabble into such grounds in terms of political ambition or interest. And this has not been done. So, and you see, that's why he went to Asaba or Delta State, asking the CBN not to remove him from office, because he knew what he did was wrong, having to go and register as a card-carrying member of a political party while still holding the office of Central Bank of Nigeria. I think that there's a lot of conflict of interest in that. I'm not stopping that. If you look at the trend of the cases, the matter in Delta State was filed contemporaneously at the same, almost at the same time as the one in Abuja.
Yes.
But for you to file a case in the Federal High Court in Abuja, you must have filed an affidavit disclosing to the court that you have no other matter pending. Even though the one in Asaba was not in his name, a clearly such a matter could not have been filed without his knowledge, because it involves him. So I believe that it's important for us to indeed put pressure on the governor of the Central Bank to immediately resign, even if he's no longer pursuing the ambition of being a presidential aspirant in any of the political parties. The fact that he's a card-carrying member of the All Progressive Congress is enough for him to vacate office, so as to have enough time to pursue whatever partisan interest he may have.
Well, in fact, that because was what I was going to ask you, is not so much, because as I say, we don't know, but whether or not he is an aspirant or a candidate, with what we have seen in this, in the context of these denials issued by his state spokespersons, and then the discovery that there is litigation going on to be able to remain in office and so on, and as I said, this important position that the central bank holds with regard to electoral materials, can we say that other non-APC parties would feel confident and feel that the appearance of impartiality and non-partisanship would be maintained if the same person remains at the central bank, even if he now decides I'm no longer going to run?
I think it's too late in the day, be able to guarantee the neutrality of the present governor of Central Bank. He's thrown himself into controversy by filing the case in the Federal High Court alone, signifies where his interest is. Because that indeed betrays the kind of hopes or ambition that he ordinarily would want to pursue or execute. So that is sufficient notice to all Nigerians that he's no longer in neutral. It's sufficient notice to all of us that he has other interests in mind beyond regulating fiscal activities. Secondly, for me, generally, looking at the state of things in Nigeria, most people go to banks to borrow money to finance their electoral ambitions. You see that most of these public officers or those public office holders, politicians, carry heavy loads of loans in various banks all over the place. By the time you look at the list of AMCON debtors, most of them, let's say 70% of them, are public office holders.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the same persons who regulate the affairs of these political parties. And this is why we thought that it was really an ethical issue.
Yes.
For a person who regulates the affairs of these banks to then subject himself to the control of politicians, one way or the other, he has to bend the standards. One way or the other, it will affect his decision. It will affect his discretion. In one way or the other.
And as I always say, the appearance is as important as the reality in
It's not possible for us to guarantee the neutrality of the governor of Central Bank in the circumstances of his ambition.
Well, Mr. Adebuwa, I want to thank you very much. I just wanted, before we close, I think I'm stretching my 15 minutes in a way that Elastic has never heard of. But before we go, I just wanted to get your thoughts, because we always talk about this matter as though it affects only the All Progressive Congress and the federal government. But of course, we have people in different parties, and the at the state level, And there are so many of them. Now, they will not be subject to a presidential directive. But do they need to wait to be told by their governor or their local government chair that they should step aside from their job if they are if they have political ambitions? Or is it that because the eye of the public is only on the federal, on what is happening at the federal level, that everybody else can continue as before? Are we in danger of looking a little bit too much at the center and not enough at
ethically, ethically, I think that's what it costs. A person who has a personal ambition to pursue should, purely as a matter of transparency and accountability, be able to resign. You don't need the prompting. And with the judgment of the Court of Appeal, it's so clear now what they should do. And so anybody or political party, PDP, ABGA, other than APC, who is fielding a person who is holding a public appointee or office, is just taking some landmines or risk.
Well, isn't it the political party that is taking the risk? Because the danger of ending up with a candidate who, it turns out, was not qualified to be nominated as your candidate. APC has had some bitter experiences in that regard.
In Zamfara,
yes. Yes. And I dare say that even if the law permits it, the delegates will also have their have an opportunity to have their say.
Yes. No doubt about that.
So I want to thank you so much, Ebun, for coming on, the Senior Advocate of Nigeria, very much an activist.
Andy, activism came from you. We learned these things from you. I remember.
But if
campaign for democracy.
If you were an activist,
you have raised people in this country in the line of activism. So we look up to you every day, and we are proud of what you are doing.
Well, we are also proud. If we have raised you up, then we should be proud of those who have followed behind us. So I want to thank you once again, a leading lawyer. And I should also say a pastor who therefore knows something about ethics and integrity. So I want to thank you very much for coming on the program, and we look forward to
you another
time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ebola Deborua. And such a great conversation, Ayo. I'm sure this will roll into the weeks afterwards from today. Hopefully. Well, have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you so much.
All right. Always a pleasure. We have Ayo open the public square for us. And we're going to go on a quick